Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. Questions as of Monday, May 10th, 2021. I'm recording on Thursday, May 13th, the morning in Europe. So hopefully you'll have this by the evening in North America time. The questions sent to Ask Catherine and also posted at Subscriber Input. We have a new Subscriber Input, so check it out. We'll run both Subscriber Inputs until June 30, and then we'll move over to the new one. So I hope that gives you time to get over there and get comfortable. And this way we can post by topic, and so we don't have to integrate and merge all the threads into one gigantic thread. A few comments on what's new at Solari. In addition to the subscriber input, we're working on bringing up a sort of social media type circle software by the end of the month, so stay tuned for that. Jerry Day just did a great video for the employer and school disclosure form. We'll put that up at pandemic.solari.com, and we want to thank him for that. InfoWars just published a blockbuster about Nicholas Wade's article that he published in, The Atomic of the Bulletin for Atomic Scientists republished it, I guess. The Origin of Covert, Did People or Nature Open Pandora's Box at Wuhan? And it looks to me like the chances that, you know, the sort of U.S., U.K., Israeli faction working with the Chinese let this one out of the box. It certainly looks intentional. And I just had to mention Lee Dundas, attorney in Orange County, came up with a great video that we posted on digital passports. Her new term for them is electronic dog collars. That is such a perfect expression. I think I may use it. Okay, cash and precious metals. Dear Catherine, I love Money and Markets with Titus and your quarterly wrap-up with Frel. Three questions for you. The effort by the central bankers to build an alternative tower of Babylon society has been tried by many kings and emperors. What's different? What's different is the digital technology and invisible technologies that digital technology facilitates that can be delivered from satellite, great distance, both invisible weaponry, communications, mind control, surveillance, and it's really enabled them to solve the control the collateral problem. What is the likelihood that a populist candidate for president, this cannot be dealt with by the governmental systems alone? The governmental systems at this point with the financial coup in consolidation are deeply financially dependent on the central bankers, and their payment and digital systems are deeply dependent on the corporations and banks. So you've got a whole private money infrastructure, and that's why I've said you've got to shift the money. So if you keep going to the voting on computer systems that are corrupt and you don't deal with the money, so you got to deal with government and the money at the same time, because they're going to try and deliver all of this on a privatized basis. Remember, they've levered up the government, sucked the money out. The governments are sitting in the middle. What specific assets or companies would you recommend investing in to safeguard? I don't give investment advice on the Solari report. I strongly recommend you listen to all three parts of the first quarter equity overview and then send any questions. I would also listen to the second quarter equity overview that we'll publish in July. My understanding of this is if you already have individual stocks and do not want to sell them and get hit with taxes, they can be placed into an index fund. However, I'm just starting out, I would just invest in a regular S&P, is that correct? So what you're talking about, certainly if you're in a tax-deferred account, it's easy to change from individual stocks to a fund or an ETF, including an index fund, because there are no tax ramifications. If you're in a taxable account, as far as I know, there's no such thing as a like-kind swap option. But if anybody's figured it out, it's Vanguard. So I would call Vanguard and ask them if there is such a thing as a like-kind swap option. But whatever they tell you, I would confirm it with your CPA for your state. If you have questions on definitions of things like index funds, check out Investopedia. The reason I don't really look into anything like this is I far prefer individual stocks to index funds. I do agree that there are lower fees, and that's an attractive feature. But frankly, I don't want my money going into crap and supporting crap. You get some everything in an index fund. Dear Catherine, I would like to put together a number of questions to help me invest and protect my estate. I'm planning to live outside the U.S. and would appreciate your analysis and recommendation. What I'm requesting is probably not the correct use of this mode. So I no longer do individual consultations. So what my recommendation would be, listen to the equity overviews. There's plenty of material about these issues. I would look for jurisdictions that do not have vaccine passports, do not have vaccine mandates, respect health freedoms and property rights, and where you know people and where you can afford to buy a very large amount of land with good water. I would want, if I had enough money, I would want money in multiple jurisdictions, and plenty of money close to my physical, you know, that I could grab and physically possess. Anyway, so coming up with something like that is a tall order, because what you'll find is Mr. Global is everywhere and the push to do this is everywhere. And, you know, it's one of the reasons RV sales are up. I think people have just decided, okay, I'm going to be a nomad so I can get up and go depending on what comes down. So the question for all of us is, in what jurisdiction do we decide to stand and fight? Because I don't know that there are places outside of the U.S. that are any better than some of the best places inside the U.S. So it's really, you know, if I had all the money on the planet, I'd be diversified in many different jurisdictions. It's sort of like a war games, and you're putting your troops across the battlefield, and hopefully they don't, you know, some get through. Came across this, what is it? WJ, the last 6 weeks. Were you aware of it? Could it be linked to missing money, among other things? So this is a Phil Schneider speech in the 90s about the underground bases. The underground bases are, the underground infrastructure is quite extensive. And I don't know that whether Schneider was accurate on his details, but essentially there's been a massive investment. And so, yes, I think a significant portion of money from the missing money is gone underground. I just finished a review for 2 years of all the possible U.S. sites in the hope that I could sort of estimate out. But I suspect the investment in the underground infrastructure globally is in the trillions of dollars. It's very important for creating infrastructure that keeps a lot of the national security state and anything like secret space programs and a lot of the research from hidden from view. Hi, Catherine. I'm having trouble with the following argument. Would you assist me? Why is it necessary for the military of any country to support its currency as per the central banking warfare model? Isn't it the case that the productivity of country's people determines the value of its currency? No, it's not. You know, that's, if anything, that's the myth, and you would hope that that would be true. But right now, the primary, I would say 80% of the value of the U.S. dollar comes from its military and intelligence enforcement. So it's both covert violence and physical violence, and the fact that at the end of World War II, the system was so dominant that so many people depended on it, built it out, it liquefied. Now, the sanctions are slowly, steadily destroying the liquidity of it, so which is why it's sort of a short-term benefit, long-term expense. But essentially, the model we're in right now is a force model. It's a racketeering model. And if you look at the productivity of the U.S. economy, it's dropped dramatically in the last 20 or 30 years. And part of that is intentional, as they've moved more and more manufacturing to Asia. But I would say in an ideal world, the productivity would be very important to the currency. But in the case of the U.S., it's become steadily more dependent on our military and intelligence enforcement. If you look at all the different wars we've started and all the different leaders we've assassinated, it's pretty clear. Hi, Catherine. I live in Canada. I'm new to your website, though I've listened to you for years on Coast to Coast. I'm considering investing in gold and silver. My question is, how do I find a reputable place to buy precious metals, and how do I know if the product is legitimate? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. You have several good sources in Canada. One, of course, is the Royal Canadian Mint, which I would still trust, even though, obviously, I'm a person who can be very suspicious of government. The gold standard fees generally more expensive, but you get very, you know, you get very high quality, is BMG. Rob Kirby, among others, represents BMG. And I would go to their website. They have a website both for buying bullion and a different website for a gold fund that they have. They're impeccable, is my experience. So check out BMG and Royal Canadian Mint. Hello. Oh, and if you go on Solari, there's a classic piece I wrote about what percentage of my assets can I Should I Hold in Precious Metals, and also The Best of the Solari Report. Those links are in the links we prepared for the first equity overview, and you might dive through the different precious metals related links in that in the links for the first quarter equity overview 2021. Hello, Catherine. I'll be selling my house in San Francisco, which I've owned for about 40 years. The increase in the capital gains that is being discussed will have a huge impact on the taxes. Do you have any suggestions? So obviously, one, you need to talk to a California CPA. The question is, do you want to try and do something under the 1031 exchange? And I know someone who just, let me pull this up, who just did one selling a piece of California real estate or Nevada restate. So I sent the question to someone I know who's selling a piece of San Francisco real estate and planning on using a 1031 to ask them what their experience was. And what they said was, the only trick that I've learned here, and I tend to use myself, is to undertake a Section 1031 election on the sale. Defers capital gains tax, provided you do it by the book and reinvest the proceeds in other real estate investment properties. But this only works if you're selling an investment property, not your primary residence, which it sounds like they are doing. So the next question, could they convert the property to investment property prior to selling, and how long does it need to be in that status to qualify? I don't know the answer to that, but the key ingredient is, are they willing to transition to investment property status first? And would they be willing to reinvest the proceeds into other income-producing real estate afterwards? There's some pretty cool hands-off, not ongoing active property management real estate securities that pay approximately 4-7% per year, plus a long-term capital gain when the investment is brought to completion approximately 6.5 years later, on average, called Delaware Statutory Trust that qualify for the 1031 election. In a way, they're analogous to a privately traded real estate mutual fund. I'm planning to do this. Once one DST is brought to completion, you can do another 1031 and roll those proceeds tax-free into another DST at that point. You have my permission to forward this email, and so it goes. Okay, so that's the question. It looks to me like pay your taxes unless you can flip to an investment property and willing to take the time to do that. But whatever you do, I would check with a California CPA who understands your distinct circumstances, because you never know. I'm one of those people, I don't mind paying my taxes. Pay my taxes and get my relationship with the government over. Hello, Catherine. I'm a relatively new subscriber. My brother is in the ICU with COVID-19. They're just putting him on a ventilator, and I'd like to find statistics and the survival rate for patients put on ventilators. I'd also like to know real scientific information about masks. Okay, so I got one of the doctors I knew who follows this to check, or I wrote them to check, and I sent you the message. They described the statistics that were present in New York, you know, at the beginning of COVID-19, and said that those statistics no longer apply. We also posted in the new subscriber input where to get ivermectin in the United States, also a link that'll help you get hydroxychloroquine as well. Obviously, it's too late for somebody who's in the ICU, so I'm sending prayers for this. And I also sent you links on masks, including our interview with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a great interview that Del Bigtree did with some OSHA experts who were Hero of the Week. If you do a search for OSHA, you can pull those up, or Tenpenny, you can pull those up. Anyway, I wish you all the luck in the world. So I put the notes from the doctor in the show notes. By the way, you've mentioned in some of the reports how difficult it is for people to come to the realization of how evil the system is. Your personal story is quite moving in that regard. Is it possible to get a PDF copy of that? That's still in read in the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, and we hope to have a PDF available. We have somebody working on it now and hope to have it up by June. Hi, Catherine. Was hoping you could clarify your opinion on COVID-19 in your interviews with Thomas Cowan and John Rappaport. It appears you agree with them that there is no virus. However, in other interviews, it seems you believe there is a virus. I'm probably missing something. So here's the trick. What is going on is a process designed to give tyranny the ability to institute tyranny. Okay. So, and my number one focus is on stopping the tyranny. I don't really care about the details. My interest is on freedom. Now, I agree with John and Tom that no virus has been isolated. And I think the authors of Virus Mania, about the sort of, you know, the germ theory, are certainly makes sense to me. I do believe that there are one or more pathogens roaming around. Part of it is we're living in what I call the great poisoning. But I also think whatever got started in Wuhan and spread, it was involved one or more pathogens, probably mixed up with some EMF radiation, but certainly there were one or more pathogens. Now, was it a virus? Was it a bacteria? You know, was it floating nanoparticles? I don't really know or care. I tend to just not want to get into the details of all of that because, you know, I do believe there's some kind of man-made pathogen being applied here. And I think the applications of those pathogens are far from over now. Is it a virus? What kind of pathogen is it? I don't know. I don't really care. If you look at the pressure being applied to Thomas and John to recant, it's very disturbing to me because one, I have yet to find anybody who can document that the virus has been isolated. It hasn't been. But I think, you know, there's a desire here to be acceptable to the mainstream, whether it relates to germ theory or vaccination or no black budget. And I think all solutions require the truth. If Thomas and John believe that the virus hasn't been isolated and continue to bang that drum, I support them fully. I just think we have to go with the truth. You know, it's funny, when I talked with Peter Bregan, he was outraged that anybody would think that there wasn't a real virus. And I didn't want to get into it with him, but to me, it's perfectly plausible that there's no real virus involved. Anyway, but as I said, I don't really care about the discussion, not to say that it's not important or relevant. I care about stopping tyranny. And whatever the pathogens are, they don't merit ending human freedom and introducing, you know, a slavery system on planet Earth. So, and I think our physical danger comes from the injections, not from what other pathogens they've been using to make people sick, even if it's just influenza A and influenza B. What we've got is something that's nowhere near as dangerous as the COVID political and legal restrictions and the injections. So I'm very focused. I mean, we know that the emergency use authorization is based on a complete lie. There is no basis for saying that there are no therapies for this, whatever this is. We know the injections are not safe. We know they're not effective. We know that the lockdowns have killed more people than whatever COVID-19 is supposed to be. So anyway, so I'm just, I don't want to disappear into a conversation that I think is not germane. We know the whole COVID story is BS. And so the particulars of the BS, I have a hard time getting lost in them. I strongly, if you haven't read Invisible Rainbow or watch Wave Genome from our Future Science series, I strongly recommend it if you want to get into this aspect. Hi, Catherine. Thought you should share this info with the subscribers on Money Markets. My mini research showing who changed the definition of herd immunity from June 2020 to November 2020. Then to December 2020 after injections came out, thanks to the Wayback Machine. This is everything you need to know about WHO. Creative science in response to the needs of monetary policy. Apparently, if you get the vaccine, you are not supposed to get an MRI for about 4 weeks, just like you cannot have any metal parts in you when you get an MRI. See Cliff High. Okay, so that's not have a big problem with Cliff High, so I just don't. That's not a recommendation here. Anyway, but there's some discussion of what George Webb has been talking about, nanoferritin. I don't know anything about it, but I put the links in. But I agree. You know, there's some kind of strange nanoparticles in a lot of stuff, but one of them, it wouldn't surprise me if these injections. The super soldier engineering FYI has been going on for decades, if not centuries, but it'd be interesting to see if they're letting that technology out. So then somebody is concerned about employer and school injection mandates starting in the fall. And so I put you on to somebody who's been collecting names and networks for attorneys in Pennsylvania. So I did that directly. But AmericanFrontlineDoctors.org has a legal section. And it's a great way to find a doctor. Someone sent a link to the Truth Doctors, all their videos. It's fabulous. So I put that in. Thank you so much for that. A lot of great people. Russ Blaylock, Larry Pilewski, Andrew Wakefield, Meryl Nass. Just a lot of great people. And it just shows you how many excellent, great people are really trying to do something about this. Mercola's here. Just a lot of great people. Stephanie Senoff. And people really looking for the truth and really looking to help people be safe. So they're saying spike protein is the bioweapon. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Is COVID-19 receiving ADE from other coronaviruses? One of the most perplexing questions regarding the current COVID-19 coronavirus epidemic is the discrepancy between the severity of cases observed. We received an overwhelming number of requests for the upgrade to today's webinar. So this is from the conference. Looks very good. I really appreciate this. Dr. Mercola is removing all the articles from his website related to vitamin D, C, and zinc. So he's getting targeted. So what does that tell you? Stockpile your D, C, and zinc and send a donation to Dr. Mercola. Hello, all. There's a lot of buzz right now about whether unvaccinated people can be blamed for vaccinated people transmitting spike proteins. I've just found Pfizer's own study, which answers the question in the affirmative. That's true. They indicate there's a problem. My heart is so heavy over this. Which nation will start our generation's Nuremberg trials? Reiner Fulmuck has already started the process. So check out the German Corona Investigation Committee. I just recommended prayer donations reposting. I still am trying to ascertain what in the world's going on with the shedding, but I think it's just too early. We don't know. Hey, Catherine, I've been trying to figure out what the mRNA vaccines do. Current hypothesis are 1, forfeit of sovereign rights over one's body, 2, operating system control mechanism, 3, infertility, 4, depopulation. Right now, I'm leaning towards 1 and 2, and here's my reasoning. And some very interesting feedback on this. Yeah, so I lean towards 1 and 2, but there's no doubt it's clear that certain populations are targeted and being culled. Whereas other populations, you know, I keep getting reports from San Francisco and Silicon Valley. Nobody has any adverse events. They know lots of people, very high vaccination rates, no adverse events at all. You almost wonder if everybody in the San Francisco Bay Area didn't get saline injection. Anyway, so there seems to be wide variations in populations, but very significant deaths in the people who I think these guys would like to call and consider expendable. COVID vaccine necessity. So there's a piece from the COVID Doctors for COVID Ethics on why the vaccines are not safe, are not effective, and are not necessary. It's very good. And it's being continuously deleted by the Wayback Machine, which is unbelievable. So somebody really wants to, you know, kill this one, and it's in the notes. Hi, Catherine. Wondering if you could recommend a realtor in Tennessee. Yes, so I would touch base with Connie Sharp and Hohenwald. I would look at land from Hohenwald down to Westport, all the way down to the Alabama border along the Natchez Trace. And I would check out the farm at Summertown and the area around the farm. On bookstores, I'm sure there's a ton. I'm trying ABC Bookstore in Amsterdam. But I think you need to talk to private bookstores and just make sure they'd be willing to order if they don't have it in stock. On the light equipment, I use a Sperity Sun Lamp and an EMR Firestorm, which is the infrared. They have to be used in combination. But Nathan Siles is the guy that Jason recommends for coaching on all of this. And I put in a link to his website. He's down in Australia and very, very good. Hi, Catherine. Love what you do. I really enjoy what you and John Titus do together. The meanderings are magnificent. Background, I believe we can agree that the EUA injection will cause short, medium, and long-term illness. You go through that. It's interesting. I just saw one of our teams sent in a link to the Wikipedia entry for familial law, which is laws in the United States and in many states, not all states, that say you're responsible to take care of your parents and grandparents. I just sent it back to him and I said, do you think this could be weaponized for vaccine injury? It's kind of scary. Anyway, so they go on, Is this something you could analyze with John or perhaps interview one of your many experts? So you're describing DeSantis has created a 1,000-page document that he is bringing into law that will, I believe, govern how the next pandemic is handled. Abbott appears to be mirroring this effort. Where do I find this? Do you know where? I'm not sure where I can find this, but let me know if you know. Is this something you could analyze with John or perhaps interview one of the experts on the subject? I want to avoid leaving Canada to experience the same draconian measure somewhere else. So this is a global problem. It's everywhere. Finally, in your latest M&M Money Markets interview, John mentioned remdesivir as a viable treatment for COVID. It's not. So yes, it has no efficacy. John was just mentioning it as, I think, what is touted. If you look at what they're doing to sort of rape people financially with it in India right now, it's horrible. Dear Catherine, I started down the road to informational and monetary self-control after the 2008 crash. Despite the occasional reversion, there's been good progress. I bank and invest smarter. Oh, it sounds like you're doing a lot of good things. I very much need to find a low-cost residence base in a more favorable state. And you list a series of states, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, New Hampshire, Vermont. I would check out, I like Ohio, Kentucky, maybe if you're in Massey's district, Tennessee. There are things about New Hampshire I like, but they're, you know, it's, you're still there on the East Coast. I would check out Texas, Idaho, Idaho, Utah, Texas, South Dakota to your list to check out as well. I think it's important to be around people you know. So part of it is where you find good land and good people. Joel Salskin has some great books on sort of jurisdictions. I don't always agree with him, but he's got a lot of information about places in it. So I do think it really helps to be in a low-cost area. It certainly helped me tremendously to be in a very low-cost area where I've been in Tennessee. Hi, Catherine. I'm curious what you think about the motive behind the Gates divorce. Is there was a recent article about him and Epstein. Do you think they may be trying to protect their vast assets? Just wondering. So this is asset protection and allocation. If you look at the timeline and when they started to work on the divorce in 2019, it looks to me like the Bohemian Grove approved the going direct reset end of July, beginning of August. They off Epstein to get rid of the, you know, Epstein was deeply tied into the missing money. Then they, at the Jackson Hole, the G7 bankers approve the going direct reset. So that's the next layer down. That means they send the information into the bureaucracies who go to work for the October 1st budget in Washington. But then the Fed goes into the repo market and starts intervening and doing QE in September. And that's when, you know, Melinda goes to work with the lawyers. And it's clear they know if the pandemic's coming that Gates, whether his relationships with Epstein or his what he's going to do publicly on the pandemic is going to cause tremendous amounts of liability. So now the other piece of this is Buffett's retiring, and Buffett's been very strong air cover for the Gates. And I think with Buffett sort of retiring and not being available to do that, they're very, very exposed. And of course, the more deaths and the more pain that comes out as a result of what the lockdowns did and all the lies and now what the injections are doing, it's going to connect with the genocide that the injections have been causing in Africa and India. Wouldn't surprise me. That's one of the reasons the hit on India right now is so ugly. So Gates has built up a lifetime of lies and liabilities. And so if you can hide as much of that money behind Melinda and the kids as possible, you're better off. But I think whatever he was up to with Epstein is very significant. And one of the things I wonder is whether or not, you know, how much of the Gates Foundation money came from the money disappearing out of HUD and DOD, given the close connection to Epstein. I also have to tell you, I believe that Windows 95 was critical to the pornography networks being used, I believe, to create control files. You know, not everybody can warrant an Epstein operation. And I think Windows 95 was very helpful in backdooring all different parts of the government. So Gates is up to his eyeballs in both probably the missing money, the Epstein operation, and now the, you know, the deaths of the pandemics and the harm being done by the Injections. So this is asset protection. Comment. Could you come up with a list of basic definitions for investments? Somebody's already done that. It's called Investopedia. Although I will tell you, even though Wikipedia can leave a lot to be desired, they do a very good job on sort of basic definitions for investment terms. The key to understanding all this stuff is just learning the words. You know, you sit down and you get out a little composition book and you write down the definition. And one by one, you learn 200 definitions. So we also have a great interview with Kirby on interest rate swaps, which is very good. And most of derivatives are interest rate swaps. It's really an interest rate swap story. Anyway, between Investopedia and Kirby's deal on interest rate swaps, just dive down into the definitions. If there's something you don't understand or you need examples, just send a question to Ask Catherine. Okay, then somebody said that they never learned about Mark of the Beast in Catholic school. Wow. Wow. Okay, I didn't know about that. Anyway, so I put in a copy from King James of Revelation chapter 13, but I'll just read it to you. I can't believe anybody with Catholic school training doesn't know about this. I guess you never read Revelations. So I'm reading Revelations chapter 13, starting at 15. And he had the power, it's about the Satan, you know, blossoming onto earth. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So if you won't worship the beast, you're going to be killed. So, you know, that's me. I'd rather be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, apparently, if it's nanoparticles and it goes into our arm, not our hand, people don't realize it's the mark of the beast. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So what I'm telling you is, you know, what they're looking to do with these passports is get to the point where directly the central bankers can turn your money on and off. God bless Carstens of BIS. He pointed that out in his discussion with Powell at the IMF, and that's what Titus and I have been beating the drums on. So you can't buy or sell unless you follow their rules, which means you may only be able to buy and sell within 5 miles of your house, or you may only be able to buy or sell if you get your injection every month. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So that's 666. That's the mark of the beast. So again, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So exactly what we're watching now is an effort to roll out a mark of the beast system. And the goal is to get you all vested in supporting and building the prison, you know, so that they can throw the trap and you don't see it. So you don't connect the vaccine passports with turning your money on and off. And you don't connect the injections with, you know, what's that got to do with, you know, digital control of my money. Anyway, so our job here at Solaria is to try and help you connect the dots. So then a great back and forth with a wonderful subscriber who's leaving Pennsylvania, and we hooked you up to sort of get the resources you need to find what you need to find and the places you're looking. So I have those notes. But you should definitely go to the Road Food Conference in Tennessee. There are going to be a lot of great people there, a lot of people who are looking for places. So I would definitely go to the Rogue Food Conference in Lewisburg in Tennessee in June. Somebody wanted to know if I'm familiar with Anna von Reese's work, and I've looked at it on and off, but it's long and complicated, and I have it on my list. I'm working on something on the tax system, but I think once I have that, she would be the perfect kind of person to email and say, okay, how do we insist on taxation, you know, no taxation without representation. Hi, Catherine. Is there available literature describing how to set up local systems in the U.S.? So this is on how do you do local currencies or local equity. Every state has a constitution and every place has local laws. You have to be familiar with that. So it appears you're in Texas, and they do have a gold and silver depository. And I think, you know, one great way to do this is get with the local people and see if you can use coins, including coins deposited at the depository. If you can use gold and silver coins as well as your local coins to transact, you've got a great way out of the system. We should have the gold and silver calculator. You know, we had a payment calculator with Franklin Sanders, and then it got destroyed. So we're bringing it back up with a wonderful team of developers. Anyway, we hope to have that up by the time of the second quarter wrap up when we do CBDCs, because we like to have an alternative. Okay, then somebody wanted to know the book I keep referring to on the economic slavery. It's called The Half Has Never Been Told. It's in the library, and I put the URL in the notes. Then I reposted a question I answered or comment from last week on transgender. Somebody's granddaughter is having transgender thoughts, taking hormones, and other grandmothers are finding the same thing. And they said they thought it had something to do with the food. I agree, it does have something to do with the food, but it also has even more to do with the mind control tactics being used on media, including smartphones. And I put the link again to the commentary, Mind Control Tactics Used on Young People and Children, which also includes a section of mind control tactics used on everyone. I will just tell you now, giving a teenager a smartphone is the equivalent of providing a hotline to, you know, the Beck brothers, the Russian mafia, you know, the covert operations at the CIA, who can make money converting your child into cannon fodder for sex slavery, transgender experimentation, school shooters. They can turn them with mind control into school shooters. You know, or maybe they'd prefer them to just grow up and be another Harvard graduate desk killer, you know, or another Fauci. So I'm going to be a tough guy now. Stop killing your children. Stop giving them a device, a surveillance device that allows the most evil people in the world to seduce, manipulate, manage, trick, and destroy your child. Don't do it. Don't pay for it. I don't know what to do. I just can't fathom that you would allow this to happen to your own child. Anyway, hi, Catherine. I'll be flying from California to Florida. Do you recommend any precautions? I would seriously give consideration to driving. I really would. I know there's a gas shortage, but I've read about the vaccinated people affecting the health of the unvaccinated. That's the reason for my question. You know, we don't understand what the truth is on shedding, and there's a wide range of reports. And there could definitely be something there. And the time to worry about it is if you are pregnant. You know, if I was pregnant, I would, or if I had particularly bad periods, I would, you know, that's where the shedding appears to be having the most impact. Anyway, if you need a test to fly, then get a saliva test and refuse to let anyone else test you. Just say no. Go home. Don't, you know, cancel the trip. Do not let them put, you know, somebody else's swab in your face, in your mouth, in your nose. Don't do it. That's why the saliva test where you just spit into something is... Now, some people say, well, then they get your DNA. Well, they already have my DNA, so I don't really care. As I said, I would consider driving or hiring someone to drive you. You know, there's a lot. It's very fun to drive from Florida to California, especially if you got somebody to do it with. Dear Catherine and John... So this is a very detailed question about what's going on in Russia. And I have to tell you, I don't think that Russia is anti Mr. Global. I think Russia's playing ball with Mr. Global. I think the question is who's going to be on the top layer. So, you know, if there's a committee of who's who at the top layer, is it going to be the tension between Russia and China? And the U.S. and the G7 is factions within Mr. Global's hierarchy. I don't think it's anti-Mr. Global. Anyway, so I think Russia seems to be on board for technocracy. Then somebody pointed out the shocker that Netanyahu can't form a government. It looked like they were finally going to get him. Of course, he's on trial for corruption charges. We know one way or another Netanyahu's probably guilty as all get out. And suddenly massive violence breaks out in Israel, saving Netanyahu's hide is what it looks like. That's the entire history of Netanyahu's career, his formula. Every time he's down for the count, we have a war, or we have 9/11 or something, that or a terrorist event that saves his cookies. What a coincidence. Brian Rose was running for mayor of London. He has been getting a tremendous amount of exposure on BitChute, which gave me the impression that he was a serious contender. In the end, the incumbent won with a good majority, and Brian Rose only got 1.2% of the vote. This makes me wonder whether there was a massive election fraud. I don't know, but I don't think it's meaningful. I think it's very likely that the voters did not see Rose as someone who would make a good mayor. I doubt he would make a good mayor. I would never vote for him for mayor of London, let alone... I don't think you can tell. And I think it was perfectly possible for the current leader to win fair and square up against Rose. He doesn't have the background, the credentials, a lot of other things that would cause him in short order to be able to field a significant effort. Now, if he kept, you know, doing this year after year after year, he could develop the background and the skills and the knowledge. So he's clearly a very hardworking, energetic guy, but there's a big, long road between here and there. So God was left out of Biden's National Day of Prayer. It's always good to see Biden being consistent. Under Going Direct, whatever happened to the Planet Lockdown film, is it not going to happen? Okay, so I already responded to this question, but I'm going to respond again. For some reason, you didn't get the response. I think I emailed it or posted in subscriber input. I can't remember. Anyway, the nom de plume of the guy who's making Planet Lockdown is James Patrick. I think what happened, Patrick had a plan. He was going to do all these interviews. Then he was going to publish the interviews. Then he was going to make a documentary. And when he did the interviews, what he discovered was things that are much, you know, the rabbit hole was much deeper than he had realized. And I think he published the whole bunch of interviews, got very different response than he expected, much, much stronger. And then decided, okay, I don't really understand what's going on. I think I need to do a new round of interviews. So anyway, he's doing a new round of interviews. But here's the thing. Don't worry that it didn't come out. If you look at the interviews he's posting many terrific interviews. And so just watch all the interviews. Don't wait for the film. Watch all the interviews. But I think he's on another round of interviews. And I'm assuming his plan when he finishes those is to wrap it up and do a documentary, but I can't swear. So just keep watching those interviews because there's plenty of great stuff. So somebody sent Whitney Webb's greatest investigative report. She's doing great work. It's really hard to dig into the contracts and policies at the Fed level, and I'm very, very glad she's doing it. So Webb is definitely somebody you want to support. Then somebody sent me a wonderful question. So go to local gatherings. It's doing a great online newspaper in Portugal. So I put you in touch with one of my strongest ally subscribers in Portugal. In the meantime, we've got you on the list. When Connect comes up, we're definitely going to try and inspire some Portugal thing with you in the middle of it. So very excited to be in cahoots. Looks like you're doing great stuff. Dear Catherine, please let me know if there are subscribers in Berlin. So we have a small number of great subscribers there. I sent this into customer service, and when the Connect software comes up, we're definitely going to try and do something there. And then somebody's returning from Mexico. They also want to be put in touch. So again, stay tuned for Connect. Our goal was, number one, to get the subscriber input up. Then we needed to update the terms and conditions for the website and then create them for Connect and then test out the Connect software. And so it's a... It's another 26-step process in the world of Mr. Global here. Catherine just saw this post. I know you mentioned you were looking for saliva tests. Two wonderful subscribers sent European saliva tests, and I've posted those in the new subscriber input as well. Then somebody sent a warning about this new lab. We've talked about it in Money and Markets. There's a new biosafety level national lab in Manhattan, Kansas. It's almost like the Wuhan, China thing for animals. It's pretty scary. In combination with the effort to get all the animals with RFID chips by 2023, you think, oh, great, after they do the people, now they're going to go do the animal. There's no doubt that they're trying to control and kill the meat supply. So this is very frightening, and I thank you for the link. We'd already posted it, but it can't be mentioned too many times. Who's your farmer? Who's your rancher? Where's your money? Here is a great solutions-based article, Existential Economic Threats, How U.S. States Can Survive Without Federal Money. That is the perfectly correct question, and that's a great piece we posted. Thank you for sending it in. I have new respect for Rebel News. So this is an article on the pastor in Calgary who got arrested by the police after he threw the police out of his church. Anyway, so I have that link and we have posted that. Hi, Catherine. Oh, this is another saliva test. Again, I posted those in the new subscriber input. Also, for printing, please check out Gelato. It's print on demand that actually prints in the country where you want it delivered. That looks really good. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing that. Okay, biodigital convergence outlined by the Canadian government. Ooh, dark. So we posted. I found this little example of the sophistication of the brainwashing particularly clever. This is somebody promoting, looks like on social media, the COVID-19 injection. It's unbelievable. I keep getting these unbelievably gruesome reports of people experiencing serious adverse events in their family, life-threatening neurological disabilities and maiming, and then they go out and they get the vaccination. And you think, what is this? Then somebody sent a long description of tunnels at Henry Ford's house, which I couldn't understand, although tunnels are a much more prevalent issue than most people understand, but I didn't get this one. Then under shadow work, I listened with interest to one of your responses in the past week's Ask Catherine, in which you emphasized the importance of investing in ways to combat and circumvent mind control. Along these lines, I wanted to share a couple of observations. Now, this is really important. Last weekend, our household hosted a gathering that involved 17 people present for the portion of the day or entire weekend. One of the common denominators was that all 17 were uninjected with no plans to get an injection. This was a joyful gathering involving great conversations, good food, music, time outside in nature, and most relevant to the discussion of mind control, there was nary a smartphone in use or in sight the entire weekend. Some of the people don't even own a cell phone, and most of the others use cell phones sparingly, if at all. Also, the people present were individuals who do useful, high-integrity work, including artists and musicians, and who have an active spiritual life. I think we cannot afford to underestimate what these smartphones are doing to people. Everyone I know has gotten an injection, is tethered to a phone. So I think your advice to prioritize addressing mind control is right on the money. This is a great story. This is a great story. This is exactly it. You need to be hanging with people who are not tethered to a smartphone. Anyway, so in closing, that's it for this week. Again, thank you for your questions. Every week I learn so much more from you guys than I do from the, certainly from the Shriekometer. Our theme this week on money and markets, I want to repeat, worry about tyranny. That's the thing to worry about. Don't worry about, I'm not saying there aren't health risks out there because the great poisoning is on, but we need to keep our minds clearly focused. Our problem is tyranny. And all of these different problems are coming from tyranny, even the health problems. So worry about tyranny first and foremost. The second thing, and this was Titus's great insight, he smells a whiff of desperation, and so do I. So keep driving the light through the cracks. It's what Leonard Cohen says, and there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And more than anything, enjoy the coming of spring. It's absolutely beautiful. And yes, I know in Australia you're going into winter, but it's always good to have a cool time. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck. Talk to you next week.